The FINA Podcast, an advocacy tool that seeks to illuminate the financial and economic inclusion challenges, solutions, and advancements in Nigeria. It is the first podcast in Nigeria focusing on this discourse. Join us on this journey. Here's a quick fact. In 2023, 45% of Nigerian adults were reportedly using digital financial services to meet their financial needs, an increase from 34% in 2020. And this is according to the Access to Financial Services Survey in Nigeria by EFINA. Why is this important? As the number of digital financial service users increases, new risks emerge for inexperienced consumers, and these issues reduce the trust quotient in the market. Trust is a non-negotiable requirement for financial inclusion. Issues such as data security, fraud risks, and the digital divide are increasingly prominent as more individuals and businesses transition to non-bank or informal services. This is episode 1 of the EFINA podcast. I am Chinasa Collins Obuo, the Advocacy and Communications Lead at EFINA, and I'm hosting this conversation on financial innovation and access in Nigeria, the consumer's threat. My guest needs no introduction today as we are of the same fold. However, I will introduce her nonetheless for the benefit of you, the listeners. She is none other than Dr. Oluwatomi Eromosele, the General Manager and Research Lead at EFINA. Oluwatomi is here to shed more light on EFINA's role in advancing financial inclusion in Nigeria and the drivers of financial inclusion, as we also explore the burgeoning issue of DFS-related consumer threats.
Thank you, Chinasa, for having me.
So you've listened to the introduction and the context of this conversation. We're talking about the fast-evolving financial inclusion market, or the financial services market, if you like, with the advent of technology, the use or the reliance on digital financial solutions to help reach more people, right? And with that increase or with that evolution, we also recognize, you know, some threats to consumers, especially consumer groups that are not educated or not as experienced. But I'd like to first of all start with EFINA. We know that EFINA has been at the forefront of driving financial inclusion and innovation in Nigeria for the last 15 years. Can you talk about EFINA's role in advancing financial inclusion in Nigeria thus far?
Thanks, Chinasa. It is Consumer Week, so happy Consumer Week to all Nigerians out there. And it's also a time where at EFINA we've also been doing some, you know, retrospection and just thinking about reminding ourselves that we are here to serve Nigerians and that they are our customers, or, you know, we are here to serve them. So it's a good time to be having this conversation. Like you said, EFINA has been in the ecosystem, and over the last 15 years, we've championed financial inclusion and promoted financial inclusion, and established ourselves as, you know, with a strong reputation as a leader in doing this. And we do this across three key pillars. I would say the first is generating credible market information, which we call research. The second is through funding innovation. You spoke about digital financial services earlier, and also through strategic advocacy. When EFINA was set up in 2007, it became very clear that one of the reasons why we had over 70% of the adult population outside of the banking system was that there was very little information available to the banks or, you know, other financial service providers to understand the underbanked or the underserved, to even, you know, extend financial services to them. And as you know, I think Peter Drucker was the one who said, if you can't measure it, you can't improve it. So all that information, we then started out with the Access to Financial Services in Nigeria survey, really to measure and track access to finance for all, you know, the adult Nigerian population, and we'll do this across all states, to expose, you know, the regulator and also providers the needs of Nigerians are, what their current interests are, what their transactional needs are, but also their liquidity needs, their needs for resilience. How are they managing shocks? How are they pursuing life, you know, objectives, things like education, wanting to start a business or grow a business? What are the channels currently used, and how can we ensure that we extend formal services that work for them to these people? And that's research has been all, you know, in demand and supporting a lot of policy changes, a lot of new solutions coming into the ecosystem, and a lot of market entry. So we've seen the fintechs go into the underserved market. We've seen financial agents, all of that driven by evidence, you know, demonstrating the fact that it is possible to serve this market. But beyond research, Afena has also focused a lot on driving innovation. We've had a couple of founded projects in the ecosystem, and we are proud to say that over the years, we've reached over 4.5 million adult Nigerians have been banked or formally included as a result of projects that Afena has funded. And lastly, I'll speak to advocacy, which you are, you know, the queen of advocacy, I would say. We've done strategic advocacy, making sure that we are the bridge between the public and the private stakeholders, and ensure that there is strong conversation going on about how do we ensure that Nigerians have the right solutions and that their needs have been met, and that in every one segment, we're not excluding some of the other segments. So advocacy is obviously reinforcing our approach for system strengthening as well. And I mean, if you allow me to just speak to, even with all of this that we find, we're also now beginning to see the need to bring in the human face to this and to be more community focused, consumer focused, highlighting, you know, who these people are. And I think from our last survey, one of the things we said is that exclusion has a face. Yeah. There's more women, not and youth. And you're helping us to showcase that so that there is also a feedback mechanism, and the voices, the excluded, is not drowned, but they are heard both regulators and by the providers. I think I will stop there.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Tomi. That's such great context and great work that we're doing at Afena, you know, as I'm part of Afena. And I think that what's very important to highlight is the fact that we are more intentional about focusing on the people, the why that we exist, the reason that we exist. At the end of the day, the purpose that we're driving for financial inclusion is to ensure that human beings, who are the consumers, you know, have access and are able to lead better livelihoods through access to finance. And however that goes, we know that there are challenges that come up as well, which is why we're also talking about the evolution in the market, looking at, you know, the innovation and what that could also mean for these people that we care about. So to my next question, and you know, you've talked a lot about, you know, all the work that Afena is doing. Digital financial services as a solution has become a key driver, and we saw that in the last A2F survey, has become a key driver for financial inclusion in Nigeria, as it has across other parts of the continent, which means it's definitely a promising tool to extend the rails of financial services to the last mile, the most excluded groups. You know, when you talked about exclusion having a face, so it's likely to be women who live in the north or young Nigerians. So as we are aware of all of this, there's also increasing concern about the inherent risk exposure of these groups of consumers in particular, which is why the topic is the consumer threats that exist when we're trying to push financial innovation. Why is this a critical topic to pay attention to and for us to address?
Thank you, Chinesa. So digital financial services is very important because even before COVID, it became very clear to us in financial inclusion that reaching the excluded, reaching the last mile, reaching the rural communities will be very difficult without technology. You'll admit that today, the insecurity, the kind of the weak infrastructure that we have makes it difficult for the financial services to continue with the brick and mortar model that they've always used in the past.
True.
Even though today that there are certain communities where there used to be branch locations, but that those branches are now closed, right? And so how do these people, how do we ensure that they will continue to remain, you know, served with financial solutions and financial services? Mm-hmm. Access is one thing. The other thing is that with innovation and with the changing world, everybody there wants everything that's something that is convenient, that is quick, fast, you know.
Absolutely.
I don't want to go into the bank to access financial services. I want to be able to do it on my mobile phone. So on one hand, we're saying for us to reach the underserved and the excluded communities, we need to do it through technology.
Correct.
But for us to also enhance the offerings and the value that even those who are already banked have, we need to be able to do that through technology. And like I think you read the data point earlier on.
Yeah.
Yes. So the data points that you read earlier on showed that 45% of adult Nigerians now use digital financial services, up from about 30-something% in 2020.
Correct.
And so that tells you growing usage of digital financial services. More people are beginning to accept this. We also see, for example, that through the financial service agent networks in local communities, we see that agents are extending formal financial services to about 11 million Nigerians who are not banked, don't have a transactional account, but can actually engage. So it tells us the power of technology today to reach the excluded and the underserved. And I think that we need to ensure that that continues to grow, but also be mindful of the potential risks that is associated with that.
Correct.
From the A2F survey, which you also referenced, we see that 31 million adult Nigerians have experienced taking a financial product or service and have later been surprised by, you know, the unexpected fees or charges. So sometimes when you're using a digital transaction, you're not fully aware of the cost implication until you actually conducted the transaction. So bank fees also, I mean, that also goes to talk about the issue around transparency of information, right? And we see, even for those of us who are banked in urban communities, some the bank platform is just down. We see that in recent times, and people not being able to perform transactions. And I think putting a human face again to it is for us to think about the fact that some people just transferring be the last one that they're transferring. It could be for the treatment of an ill person. So understanding that when system failures happen, there's real lives that could be affected by those things. It's one of the things that we're also trying to highlight to the ecosystem. Just yesterday or 2 days ago, I was discussing with someone and they had one of the regulators, I won't mention now, had put up a post on X about, you know, just direction in terms of if you have an issue with your provider and you cannot resolve it, you know, go to the provider's office. If you cannot provide it there, send us a mail or a letter. And yourself, how many people
can do that?
Can send a mail, can have a smartphone that actually do that. I mean, or in today's day and sending a letter. So it tells us also that we've not really strengthened our system to protect
the most
vulnerable. The vulnerable, exactly. So there's a lot that needs to be done. And from a FINA's point of view, just mentioned earlier on about the Inclusion for All initiative, it's us creating that feedback mechanism.
Yeah.
Always high. So sometimes the regulators really have the best intentions, but they are sometimes blind to some of the consequences and, you know, and some of the third segments. So just highlighting them and putting their face and showcasing to them that this happens. But also one of the other things that Efina, you know, is looking to do is to also find a mechanism in the next few months that will hold the providers and the regulators to a higher standard. So having stakeholders, you know, sign some form of charter to say we will be held by these principles of fairness, of transparency, you know, of care to our clients, you know. So those are some of the things that we want to highlight, because we are fully aware that digital holds huge potential.
Indeed.
But there is also, you know, threats aligned with these. And to also be fair, the threat is not just to the consumer. We've also seen some huge frauds on the supply side as well. So even Nigeria's, you know, rating from a you know, safety point of view, financial system stability,
hinges
on all of, you know, us having a system that works in a way that, you know, there's quality, consumer protection, all of that. So I think it's something that we all should be focused on right now.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you so much. I mean, that was such a robust and comprehensive response, because you pretty much touched on the fact that this topic is actually very important, and it's not important to just Efina, it's not important for just the consumers, it's important for the entirety of the ecosystem, because again, everybody sort of gets affected if consumers continue to have low trust in the system. It affects us from a regulatory standpoint, it affects us from a service provider standpoint, and so it is now a collective effort is needed to address this and make sure that we get the best outcomes out of financial inclusion advancement goals, right? Very, very, very amazing answers. Thank you so much. And I think you also actually touched on my last question on what Efina is trying to do. And I think I can contribute to that as well. You know, this platform is also an opportunity to have conversations with diverse stakeholders around these issues so that we can have that collective sort of viewpoint or perspective on how to solve this sustainably. So Efina is using all its facilitation tools, as you mentioned, research based on the evidence that we have, advocacy tool, using the human stories to ensure that beyond the data, they're real people they affect. And I think I like something that you said, you know, when one failed transaction could actually mean the end of somebody's life. Imagine if they're trying to pay for a hospital bill, and then the transaction fails, and we know what happens in Nigeria, then you don't get the treatment you need at the time that you need it. That could make the difference between somebody actually being kept alive or dying. So very critical issues. Tomi, is there anything that you'd like to leave us with, or at least leave the listeners with, when it comes to this topic, just in a few seconds?
I think more recently, we've also tried to think about the fact that, you know, working collaboratively, we can achieve a lot.
Correct.
We can have a financial system that works for all of us. So from the provider side as well, we also, sorry, from the user side, so yeah, you and I, Nigerians, we should also hold ourselves responsible to how we use financial services, you know, protect our information, but also be aware of our rights and ask, ensure that when we're using tools, we're using them with the right information. From Efina's point of view, we'll continue to hold the ecosystem, you know, accountable as much as we can and bring information to the people. But again, we should be hopeful. We all have recent research that has, you know, just pointed out to us that, you know, when we have a system that works, when there is trust, when a system works, there is a lot of, you know, hope that we see.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, just think about the fact that when your phone beeps and you see it in alerts, you know, it brightens up your day, right?
I could agree with
yes. so imagine all of that beeping on the wall. So there is, you know, a system that
falls on their people.
Exactly. Particularly in today's Nigeria, where there's a lot of despair, I think that a financial system that works, a digital system that works, can really help us to drive, you know, prosperity for all. And I think that is what we should all seek to achieve. And Nigerians should remain hopeful. We will get there. We definitely will get there. Thank you, Chinesa.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Tomi, for your contributions and a very illuminating conversation. I'm very grateful. And it's been great having you on.
Thank you, Chinesa.
Thank you. At Afina, we aim to achieve last mile progress in financial inclusion because then we will achieve progress for all Nigerians. Through these podcasts, we will keep relevant conversations ongoing and see how we can collectively achieve this objective. Thank you for listening. To learn more about Afina, a financial sector deepening organization seeking to facilitate an inclusive market that works for all Nigerians, please visit www.afina.org.ng.